1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read the first 11 verses. Let us hear what the Word of God says. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a helmet, as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. A painting was gifted to a church in Ledbury, Hertfordshire, in 1909. The painting has hung in the church for over 100 years. Someone has discovered that this painting is very valuable because it is believed to be by the 16th century Venetian master Titian, or by someone from his workshop. It seems that Titian's signature was found on a jug in the painting. They didn't know what they had. They waited for 100 years and they had something that was priceless. It was valuable. We have something that is much more valuable. But do we really know what we have? One of the ways of finding out what we have is reading and studying and praying over God's word. I don't know about you, we quite like these quiz programs. We're retired now, so we have perhaps a bit more time to watch some of these. Well, I love quizzes, and we watch these quiz programs. Do you know what the hardest questions are? The ones about the Bible. They do have them sometimes, and they're really hard questions. And usually the answer is Jesus. But they're really hard questions. You see, reading the Bible and believing the Bible and believing on Christ is something that we need to do. Because in doing that, we get something that no other thing can offer us. It's priceless. It's valuable. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to look at this passage and see here in these 11 verses that the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, tells them about something that is priceless. it's a situation that is death and life. One of the verses says this: "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." You got that salvation? Because if you have, it is priceless. Now, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want us to centre on what we call the second coming of Christ. Now, you might have different views to me on that. I'm not going to give you all the different views and all those things, but I want you to centre on that. So whatever your view of the second coming is, and there's lots of ins and outs with it all and fitting this together and that together, one of the things that this passage does, it tells us that Jesus Christ is coming again. Whatever your view, he is coming again. And that's what I want us to centre on today. I have a friend who hasn't been in our church for very long, and he has a different view to me on some of these things. I love him as a brother. He's a great Christian, and I love him. He's a young person. He searches the Scriptures. One of the things, we may differ on some of the details, but we both believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. So I want us to look at this passage, and I want us, I got 3 points, three things to say. The first is this: the Christian knows the calendar of events. The Christian knows the calendar of events. So don't be surprised. What do I mean by that? Well, my home team is Wrexham, and I don't go to see them now, but when I was a small boy, my cousin used to take me. He was older than I was, and he used to take me every Saturday that they were playing at home. So I followed them for many years. And yesterday, they won the a promotion to the Championship, the next league, the higher league. And I was reading a headline. I read the article, but I read the headline, which says this: "What happens next?" And for us Christians, what happens next? Well, we know the calendar of events. Listen, I'll go through it. We've sung it in some of our hymns that we've sung this morning. He was born. We celebrate that at Christmas time, don't we? He was born in Bethlehem in the manger. He was a baby in Bethlehem, but he was God. He was the Son of God. He died. We've been celebrating that just recently, last weekend. He died on a cross, and we believe, don't we, that he was dying there for us, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. We believe that. But then on the Sunday, on the third day, as he promised, he rose again, triumphant over sin and death and hell and all of those evil forces. And he rose for us. You believe that? And then he appeared, didn't he, to his disciples, and he appeared to, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, over 500 people all at the same time. He's alive today. He's been raised from the dead. But he then ascended into heaven. And there he sits, ascended. And then he gives the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And he gives the Holy Spirit. And he gives that Holy Spirit to me and to you and to the church. And that's really where we're at now. But what happens next? Do you know what happens next? You see, Jesus Christ is coming again. This is what the passage tells us. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord..." Now, that's an Old Testament term, the day of the Lord. And it speaks really not about salvation, but about judgment. The day of the Lord will come. That is what's going to happen next. Whatever your view of the second coming, I won't go into that, but whatever view, that's what's going to happen next. And if you're a Christian, you should know the calendar of events. When somebody comes and asks you and says, "What's happening next?" you should be able to say, "Jesus Christ is coming again. I am waiting for him to come." Now, very often we, as preachers, somebody said to me, "You don't preach on the second coming very much." I don't know whether they've heard me many times, but that might be true, mightn't it? That we don't perhaps preach on that enough. Jesus Christ is coming again. And we mustn't be surprised. Don't be surprised, because he's promised. And that is the next thing to happen. And although we know the calendar of events, we do not know the actual date, do we? You know, if you read any church history, Steve's father was, he taught us church history when I was training for the ministry. He was great at church history. But if you read anything about church history, one of the things that the church has tried to do is try to map out and say exactly when Jesus Christ is coming again. And they've put a date on it, but it wasn't the actual date. And then they look foolish and they discredit the gospel. But that doesn't mean to say that we don't know that he is coming. We do not know the actual date, but we do know this: it will be sudden and unexpected. Listen to how he puts it. He puts it like this: while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. He uses two, missed the verse here, "for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." That's a familiar picture of the fact that he will come sudden and unexpected. These two pictures, the first is of a thief coming in the night. Well, sadly to say, we were visiting our daughter down in Pembrokeshire. And we had a phone call from our other daughter and said, "Did you leave the window open?" I said, "No, we didn't leave the window open." "Well, it's open now." And then our son-in-law went up the stairs and they had to phone us and they said, "You've been broken into. What a horrible experience." Didn't take them very much, but they'd taken a lot of precious things that were irreplaceable. Jewelry that meant something. Do you know, if I'd have known they were coming, I'd have done something about it. In fact, when we had the police round, they said, if you want to stop them, do this and do that and whatever. Do you know what? I was on the phone to get a lock on the gate and to get whatever, to make sure that they didn't come. But they came when I wasn't expecting it. Sudden and unexpected. And Jesus Christ will come again, sudden and unexpected. So we mustn't be surprised. We must be ready. The other picture is the one, this one. Destruction will come on suddenly as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. When we had our first child, we were naive. We were very naive. Everybody told us about it. They said, not me, but Barbara will, she will go into labour and she will have great pain, labour pains, they were called. And, we said, oh yeah, that's going to happen. That's fine. It happens with everybody who's pregnant. That's going to happen. But we were naive. On the night that happened, we were off in church. We said, oh, we can go to church. It's fine. And then when we came back, then it happened. We weren't expecting it. It was sudden. It was unexpected. Now let me challenge you. If the coming of Jesus Christ is sudden and unexpected, where do you stand now? Where do you stand today? You put your trust in Jesus Christ. Christians, don't be surprised by his coming. And the second thing, the Christian is awake to the coming of Christ. He's awake. She's awake. Don't be asleep. So don't be surprised. Don't be asleep. See, we can go to sleep, can't we? We can. But the Christian should be awake. Listen to again how he puts it. He says this, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. And he uses a couple of opposites here. He talks about being in the dark and being in the light. If you're a Christian this morning, you are in the light. Now, the word dark and light is used in a number of ways in the New Testament. Sometimes it means dark is evil and wickedness. Sometimes it means that you don't understand. And I think here it means both, really. Where are you? Where are you? Do you understand these things? Or are you in the dark? Is this new to you? Is this something that you've never even thought about? If we're Christians, if we're believers, we are in the light. And then another one, he says, night and day. See, lots of things happen at night that are evil and wicked. That's a fact. Probably because in the dark, people can't see what we're doing. He says, we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep. And again, he's using pictures, isn't he? We all have to sleep. But what he means is don't be asleep to this great fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Don't be asleep to it. Don't say, oh, well, I'd forgotten all about that. Be awake. Is this something that you're looking forward to? Is this something that you were expecting? Is this something that is in your mind and saying, look, all these awful things are happening in our world, and there are awful things that are happening in our world. But you say this, I'm expecting Jesus Christ to come. And then we know it is coming. We're aware of that. We mustn't be asleep. We must know that Jesus Christ is coming again. But then the third thing, the Christian has a hope of his coming. Don't be discouraged. You see, you could say this, well, he promised that he would come 2,000 years ago, but he hasn't come yet. That's an argument from 2 Peter chapter 3. He hasn't come yet. So we think to ourselves, well, he'll never come. Perhaps it's going to be another 2,000. It might be. Might be another 2,000 years. I don't know. But one of the things I do know, that the Christian has this hope that Jesus Christ will come again. And we mustn't be discouraged. You see, one of the things it does for us is that even though Jesus Christ has not yet come, it does something for us now. Thought about that? It does something for us now. Puts it like this. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. That means that guards our hearts. That means we believe. And the hope of salvation as a helmet. And that guards our minds. We put on a helmet to... It's a picture, isn't it? It's so that nothing will, arrows or whatever will come into our heads and kill us off or whatever. You have this helmet of salvation and it guards our minds. You know, there's a lot of thinking that goes on, isn't there? In our minds, in our Christian minds, and we become discouraged, don't we? Say, why doesn't God do something about this? And why doesn't God do something about that? And then sometimes we start to doubt, don't we? No, the hope of salvation will guard your minds. This helmet, have on this helmet. Again, it's Ephesians, isn't it, where we, in Ephesians 6, we have the whole armour of God. One of the parts of the armour is the helmet of salvation. It will guard your mind. This hope of salvation. And then it encourages us and builds us up. Listen to what he says at the end. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another. Talk about it. Tell one another. Jesus Christ is coming again. Encourage one another. We're down in the dumps. Yes, we are. Very often. We're despondent at times. We're not doing very well. We're a small church. The world is big and everything is against us. But encourage one another. Tell one another. Speak to one another. We don't speak to one another anymore, do we? We We don't correspond. We're too busy. We have to use these phones. We used to use phones for talking to people. Now we use them for texting, and we don't see people's faces, and we're not able to hear people or whatever. Encourage one another. Speak to one another. Encourage one another that Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's coming for judgment and for salvation. Make sure that Jesus Christ is coming for you to save you, to take you, to be with him. Make sure that it's salvation and not judgment. And it builds us up. When we know these things, it builds us up. It another word for that is to edify, to give us something to think about, something to look to, something. It really does build us up. It's something that's put into us to make us stronger. We're weak. It makes us strong. So don't be surprised, don't be asleep, don't be discouraged. I'm going to conclude. I've said this a number of times when I've been preaching. I'm getting older now. As you get older, your conclusion very often becomes a hymn. I don't know. I've noticed that with older preachers. They close with a hymn. I'm going to close with a hymn. I don't know whether you know it. And we didn't sing it because I'm not sure whether you know it or not. But hymns very often sum up sometimes that what we want to say. Sometimes the hymn is How Long, O Lord. I don't know if you know that one, but listen to the words of this. It sums up really some of the things I've been saying this morning. Every valley will be lifted high, and the weak will be the strong, when you come like lightning in the sky. How long, O Lord, how long? Are you waiting? We don't know how long, but we're anticipating that. Kings on earth will scatter when they hear thundering sounds of angel songs. Hearts will tremble, filled with holy fear. How long, O Lord? How long? All our hopes, this is the chorus, all our hopes are fixed on you, that your promises are true. And one day you will return. All our treasures here will fade, so we long to see your face. Until then, our hearts will burn. How long, O Lord? How long? You will conquer every evil thing, every sorrow, pain, and wrong. They will cease with your return, our King. How long, O Lord? How long? All our hopes are fixed on you, that your promises are true, and one day you will return. All our treasures here will fade, so we long to see your face. Until then, our hearts will burn. How long, O Lord, how long? Oh, we long for you today. Every tear will be wiped away. We will see your you face to face. How long, O Lord, how long? Mm-hmm.